Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside episode 164. It's not what stops you, but where you stop.
Yep.
And David led this fantastic episode off with a list of various common problems that people face either at some point in their life or, you know, probably some for some people daily. So, David, first of all, inspiration for this particular episode. I know you talked about your recent trip out to Seattle and the flight and all matters of things, but was there something else behind this that really wanted you to get this out to the people?
It was those two experiences that we had. It was the young people, the young homeless people in Seattle, and then the guy that I sat next to in first class on the flight back, and how he was just ripping apart his friend that had bought him this first class ticket. And the guy needed a first class ticket. He was huge. He weighed like 500 pounds. He was a giant dude. And somebody paid for his ticket. And they didn't get him. He had to switch planes. And he was bitching that he had to switch
planes. Right, it wasn't a nonstop.
Yeah,
that.
It wasn't a nonstop. And I was thinking to myself, one of the most miserable people I think I've ever met.
Yeah, he was weird.
And what's interesting is that I generally don't end up sitting next to people that are like that.
Right.
I don't really also have a lot of conversations on planes. That's kind of like my time. But I don't really usually get stuck next to people that are issues or, you know, whatever. So I was kind of thinking to myself, how am I sitting next to this guy? What is it that I need to pay attention to about this guy? And that was one of the things that really caught my attention, was that he was just absolutely miserable about his life. And then I started listening to the conversations that he was having, and it was all about blaming. It was all about being victimized. And it was I understood where he was coming from with everything, but the guy that bought him his plane ticket so that he could get from one place to another because he didn't have any money and he didn't pay for it all the way through, and what an asshole he must be, and he needs to end that relationship because, he doesn't need people like that in his life. And I was like, yeah, okay, well, see.
And the conversations you have aloud when other people are overhearing, it seems like to me, this is why it's so funny, is that, you know, you're having this conversation in first class with all these other people who have paid to have this experience to be taken care of and a little bit more seat room and all these other things. And this guy is, you know, having this conversation loudly because I was sitting a row or two behind you and could hear him complaining about this, that, and the other. When if he would have stopped to realize that 100 years ago, he would have been on a train. 50 years before that, he would have been on a covered freaking wagon. I mean, you're covering from one coast to another in the span of, you know, four and a half hours, yet you're complaining because it wasn't nonstop.
Right.
The entitlement. And he wasn't the only person in that flight that was doing that. It was so crazy. Like, Steph and I have had really amazing travel experiences, but there's been some that are just batshit crazy out of the Twilight Zone.
Yep.
And from the second I walked in behind you to first class and saw the gentleman sitting next to you and then went a couple seats behind and were sitting in front of a woman who was every bit as freaking victimhood entitlement, I was thinking to myself, this is going to be a very interesting flight. So what I did was put on my headphones and didn't look up for the rest of the flight. Like, I was totally focused in whatever was happening, because the woman behind us who was complaining that she was going to die because she didn't get a lay flat seat, and they don't offer lay flat seats on domestic flights anyways, but she was so incredibly rude to the flight attendant. And they had to have her say, I will not die if I'm on this flight, because they were going to pull her off. But after the woman left, and before I put my headphones in, she was just bitching and moaning and complaining, and American Airlines is going to hear about this, and I'm not going to stand it. And all I kept hearing was, first of all, entitlement. Second of all, why am I choosing to have this experience? So probably the same thing you were asking yourself up front. It was just very, very interesting that we manifested those experiences, but there was something that it was trying to teach us. And I think that came out in this episode, because if the gentleman up front or the woman behind me would have turned that into gratitude, you know, hey, at least I'm living. I just got another breath in. I'm not dead. You know, yeah, I'm a little sweaty up here in first class, but this will be okay. They're taking care of me. And the flight attendant was so nice to the gentleman. He was dropping shit. He was shaking. He was picking things up. He was all over the place. And that woman was so lovely to him.
She was. She
and was. He was still bitching and freaking running. Right. Yeah.
The thing that went through the idea that went through all of these people that we observed over those days was complete victimization about the world. Like everything in the world was against them, from the homeless people to the two people on the plane to various other conversations that I overheard throughout our travels those 2 days. People were constantly talking about basically the same kind of issues. Like, and then I started thinking, that's really fascinating. They're all talking about the same thing. None of these people know each other, yet they all see themselves as being victimized by the establishment, so to speak, in one way or another, whether that's a friend or a relationship or a business or an accident or whatever, just normal life things. And they're so victimized by it that they're miserable. They're just absolutely, I mean, how much more miserable do you get than eating out of a garbage can? Sitting there looking for what somebody didn't finish that I can eat. And yet you're healthy enough to where you could pick up a broom and ask for a couple bucks to sweep out somebody's storefront. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like,
yeah, there was a lot of that we witnessed while we were there.
Well, with the 20 somethings, I mean, that, I think that's really what started me thinking about it, because I was thinking to myself, I was in some bad places at that age, you know, and never once did it ever occur to me or did I ever think I might end up homeless, right? There were a lot of things that went through my mind.
True.
But never about anything being homeless or having to eat out of a garbage can. That would have never happened. I had 3 jobs. I had a lot of other problems, but I still worked. You know what I mean? So I was like, how does somebody who's...
He's obviously fit. 20, he's obviously
he was
fit
totally
to work.
Totally fit.
He looked...
He was actually a handsome guy.
Yeah.
He was not a bad looking dude. Like, and I'm thinking, is this a drug issue with this guy?
Yeah.
Like, is he doing that because he's spending the money on drugs? Do we have an addict here? Because I've seen that before where they won't even take the money for food. They go buy alcohol or drugs with it immediately. I've told you that story before about the restaurant in Chicago where I gave the guy $20 because he wanted to go in and get something to eat. And I'm thinking, they're never going to let this guy in this restaurant. What the hell is he doing? So I followed him, and he walked right into a liquor store and bought a fifth of brandy.
Sure. Yeah, it's. I love that we titled this, It's Not What Stops You, But Where You Stop, because you can see that in a lot of people where they're choosing to stop rather than pressing through it. And it made me think when you were just talking about misery is not a new, you know, theme.
No.
Like since the dawn of time, back in caveman times when man was first starting out, there was misery then too. It just seems like, and I don't know, maybe there's a reason for this. Maybe it's because we're inundated. We know more. We hear more. Like the conversation that went on in the airport never would have gone that way. It would have been handled behind closed doors. We're just so much more out there. And I don't know what that is. That could be social media. It could be technology. There's so many more people now. But it seems like misery has always been a part of people's lifestyle. And there's probably people listening to this who hopefully are going to wake up and be like, God, they're talking to me. Like they're having this conversation right now about me, and I am miserable, and I complained about this, and I am a complainer, and why don't I have any friends, and all these other sorts of things. It's just really interesting that you, and we talked about this in a previous episode, you have the choice. You have the power of choice. You can flip that on its lid right now. It's just whether or not you choose to do that, because it's not going to be easy.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not. And it is, all of these problems create the illusion that there's something in them where people have to stop, and they end up stopping at those places. That guy that was next to me will probably die, you know, soon. I mean,
sure.
He was in bad shape.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was very fascinating, I don't know if you picked up on this, he didn't stop eating the whole time we were sitting there.
No.
It's like sweating profusely.
Yeah.
Guy weighs 500 pounds. He's just, he's, and he was holding like everything in his hands.
Yeah. He used his chest as the tray table.
Yeah. He couldn't, yeah, he pull, couldn't a table
pull the
out.
Table up. So he was using it. It was very, it was equal parts sad and equal parts, dude, wake up. You can do this. You know, I've seen episodes of My 600 Pound Life, and I'm not making light of people who suffer from, you know, thyroids and they can't control it, but there are things that can be done. And what was interesting was when he was sitting in the chair next to you, he looked completely helpless. But when I saw him walking through the airport, he looked very much different. He was walking okay. He was moving okay. He wasn't dripping sweat. It was really a dichotomy or an interesting way of looking at it because he looked totally different. And I don't know what that says to me, but there was definitely something there. This episode also could have been alternately titled Life Management 101. Because you talked in the episode about overcoming very small problems, but when put into proper perspective, they're not that big of a deal. And as you were running through this, my immediate thought was, I have to tread very lightly here because I don't want to sound like the get off my lawn guy. You know, the get off my lawn guy who has the age begins to accelerate, all the people around you, you start to lose touch, and then you're out there shaking your fist because the middle school kids are walking by and they may touch your grass. I don't want to be that guy, but I know sometimes I am with my kids. And it was all around entitlement. So let's talk a little bit more around entitlement as it relates to the younger generation. Like I said, I'm going to kind of tread lightly here. Reason I thought about this is my kids have been constantly referencing a popular meme right now. It's the OK Boomer. So for those of you who don't know the OK Boomer meme, it's an ageist catchphrase that all the kids are using right now to mock the stereotypes of the baby boomer generation. I am not a baby boomer. I'm a different generation. However, I'm edging ever so close to eventually these memes are going to be about me. So it's funny because when they throw OK Boomer at me, I immediately say, okay, Zoomer back to them because we called their generation Zoomers because they're always going from one place to the next. I don't know if I invented that or I don't know if it's out there or not, but either way, I like to throw it back at them. But it's the entitlement piece that I see running rampant, and it can be both. I think before we started recording this, we talked about how that's both good and detrimental. So this isn't really a question. Let's just talk a little bit about entitlement with the younger generation right now. And that doesn't mean that I'm not entitled too. I feel entitlement as well. So I don't mean to pigeonhole them, but I'd like to have a little conversation around what this all means.
So let's, you know, here's the thing. I have never seen a place where entitlement has anything productive. And I just now remembered how far we actually saw this whole thing go with the homeless because I asked that tour person, well, what is the deal with all the young homeless people in Seattle?
It was shocking.
It was very shocking.
The shanty towns right off the interstates and the fact that they allow that, that's just crazy to me.
Well, what she told us about the law there. So basically here's what she said. A homeless person can walk into any grocery store, steal anything that they want from the store, and the store can't prosecute them. You could have a $2 million house, and a homeless person can come and put up a tent in your front yard, and you can't kick them off. And if you call the police, they won't remove them either. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I said, well, how did that happen? Now, I haven't researched it, so I don't know how they got to that place. But I find that it's very fascinating that we've moved into a place where that's okay. We're lowering our standards out of some kind of twisted form of empathy. You know, like I can have empathy with anybody. I have empathy with the homeless people. You know, I understand that they don't understand. I know that they're trapped in whatever they're trapped in. And I get it. I mean, it's not something I would choose for myself, nor would it ever be anything that I would support, but I get it. I totally get it. What I don't get is having my rights violated by somebody else who's either mentally ill or lazy or a drug addict. And they can either take from me or encroach on what belongs to me out of sheer sense of entitlement. It just, you know, I support soup kitchens. I support homeless shelters. I support anything to help these people rehabilitate, move their lives forward. I support everything that we attempt to do. I think we're not even close to everything that we need to do with mental illness in this country or in the world. Like, I'm in support of all that stuff. But to allow that, to allow people that choose to do something with their life to be affected in directly violated by those people is wrong.
Yeah.
It's not okay. It's absolutely not okay. What is the point of accomplishing something, making something of yourself, contributing back to society if society won't set up a value system that allows people to come in and completely destroy what it is that you're doing? I agree, we have major issues with homeless Sure. people and mental illness and all that stuff, and we need to proactively do things about it. But allow them to camp out on your front lawn because of it? No.
It's insane.
And you're empowering these people to break the law.
Right. Yeah, you're making it easy for them.
If I walked into a store and stole a can of beans, I would be arrested for it.
Right.
Right? I would probably be shamed by a judge for doing so. But a homeless person going to do it, and they can't touch him.
Yeah.
Something's wrong there.
That was fascinating. I had no idea. And I saw a different side of Seattle, and I love Seattle. It's my favorite place. Someday I'd like to live there. We drove through some amazing areas, but I was shocked at the amount of homeless that live right along the interstate there in just these plastic tarp shanty towns, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's beautiful apartments right up the street from it, and then you've got these people who are everywhere. They're pissing outside, and that's not even, they don't even run them in for that. They're like, you know what, that's somebody else's problem. We're not going to deal with it. And I'm not saying don't help out. We do help out, but man, there was just something I had no idea was taking place right not very far from where we were enjoying ourselves.
No, it's a major, major problem. Not just in Seattle, but all the way up, like all the way up into British Columbia, all the way down to the West Coast, all the way down to Mexico. It's a major, major issue. And no, like they can't arrest everybody. Like that's crazy, but they have to do something. And the thing is that the more of it that is tolerated, because that's what happens, Brandon. It becomes a toleration by society. That these things are okay. You see that what ends up happening is the more we tolerate, the more we tolerate. Let me put it to you that way. That is a horrible thing for people to grow up with as being acceptable. No wonder we're so fucked up in the way that we think.
Yeah.
There are so many conflicting ideas about how to live. There are so many boundaries being crossed where on one hand, I mean, if you really think about the double binding message here, a kid, a teenager, a young adult, a middle-aged adult, an older adult, if you have a house, if you have money in your pocket and you walk into a store and you steal something, you're going to be arrested, okay?
Yes.
If you're homeless, it's okay. That, like, can you imagine to a kid how confusing of a message
totally,
that is?
Totally.
It is a crazy message. And there's a lot of things in the world that we're sending conflicting messages to people around. And I have said for a long time that I believe that one of the reasons that we have mental illness, this is one of the reasons, okay? It's not the only reason by far, but it is definitely a reason. Is that we have so many conflicting values in the world that we really shouldn't have, that it causes people to be in a constant state of anxiety because they don't know what's true and what's not true. And they don't know what's real and what's not real. And when you do that, the mind has nothing to hold as a solid foundation in life. And then you end up with all kinds of anxieties that aren't based on anything but sheer made up fear and terror.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just, it. There's so many different ways we could take this one. One thing I would like to get out before we wrap here is it's just crazy the amount of time people spend complaining instead of working towards a solution. So, you know, you talked about entitlement, we talked about victimhood. You know, it's very easy to just bitch and moan without having to come up with any sort of way to make things better. So I guess the question I would have, and I don't expect you to have all the answers, but just would like to get your take on what can one person do to make a difference when it seems like so many people or things may be working against you. You know, you talked about, you know, the generic problems you overhear everywhere you go, people talking about politics, people talking about climate change, people talking about nothing ever being good enough for them. So what can we do to make a difference at a soul level, on our level?
Be the very best that we can be individually, encourage others to do the same thing. It's the whole idea of make your bed every day, clean your dishes every day, wash your clothes, make an effort. You know, in the last one we did, I mentioned Lagerfeld. Lagerfeld used to say this all the time, make an effort to show up to life in a way that's positive and responsible. And if everybody, because here's what the answer is, right? And even to a degree with mental illness, the answer is self-responsibility, right? We don't have to fix everybody. We just need to take responsibility for ourselves. That's it. If we take responsibility for ourselves and we make an effort, 90% of these problems go away. Probably 99% of these problems go away. And then we can deal with the things that are really issues where people can't do those things. Real mental illness, real distress, you know, real oppression, real sexual issues, not like tons of made up shit and exaggerated bullshit that's going on out there, but actually work on those real issues. And then we'll come up with real solutions.
I love that.
Because there's a separation between responsibility and what the actual problem really is.
Yeah, that's great. Well, to close out the episode, you gave a little homework to those listening, just to kind of pick an issue in your life. And I'm going to leave this with you. Pick an issue in your life. Ask yourself, where are you stopping? And if you're honest with yourself, it's because the story in your mind is telling you cannot overcome whatever that issue might be. So you ask them to write down the general problems of life that they've been taught, because
right,
those things were learned.
Right.
Those are not yours. So write those down. And then from there, just sort of explore a little bit and see about how you break through them. I thought that was a great homework assignment.
And pay attention to where they're stopping you. Where are you allowing them to stop you so that you can think bigger than the problem so that you can move past it? Because none of those problems, the ones that I took off the internet or any other ones that you'll learn about, do they have any way of actually stopping you as a person? You stop because of what you believe about them. So when you change that and you come from a higher perspective of your real truth, you start to understand and become aware of your own power to actually move past the problem.
I love it.
And the more people that move past the problems, the closer we get to eradicating those problems, by the way.
There you go. And that's where we leave you for today. So, David, thanks for coming inside.
You got it.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.